Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 3:55 p.m. that is Pacific Standard Time. Today is January 29th. I spent most of the day today at UCLA's emergency room. Happy to report there's nothing dramatic, but Mrs. Tracy had pulled a muscle in her chest this morning and was rather fearful. So that was what has curtailed the recording of the audio and the posting of the site today, I'm afraid. When we look at what's been going on, though, the S&P 500 reversed an earlier gain, and it does look like we're getting a little bit of resistance in the region of 3,300, which is the level at which we saw the downward gap. So the gap has been closed, and I do think that it is more than likely that we are now in a more of a range-bound phase, that it is quite likely that we're going to see a reversion back to the mean. Now, usually a reversion back to the mean means that or can go in two ways. I think it's probably the best way to think about it. It either does it all in one go, or it dribbles around and allows the moving average to catch up, or sometimes you get a mix of both. When we look at the weekly chart, well, we can see that on that weekly chart there is an overextension that's really quite pronounced relative to the trend mean, and that the trend mean now coincides with the previous peak. So 3,000 now represents a really rather important area of potential support for the consistency of the decade-long trend. The Nasdaq's in a pretty similar situation. It has also pulled back from the intraday peak, and it is quite overextended relative to the trend mean. Then when we look at what happened in Hong Kong today, well, the market could, I think, have pulled back by a lot more than it did. It's only down about just 2.8%. In view of the fact that there has been a great deal of anxiety expressed about the novel coronavirus, then there is the possibility that the Hang Seng could have pulled back but more. We've certainly seen an impact in terms of tourist activity, with an increasingly large number of airlines cutting service to China. The Chinese themselves have also been cutting outward travel from China via their own airlines. Starbucks has been shutting up some of its stores. McDonald's has been doing the same thing. When we look at, for example, the S&P 500 Airlines Index, it's been going sideways now for over 3 years. And there has been a very, very mild sequence of higher reaction lows since early 2019. And it does look like that's going to be retested again. I think that's rather important to highlight is the Transportation Index, which is right in the region of the upper side of the range, which persisted for most of 2019. When we think about a Dow theory buy signal, it really does need to sustain a move up and out of its range, and it was well off its highs for the day in here today. So the two parts of that index which I think are noteworthy are the airlines, which we've just looked at, but then also the transportation companies like the railroads. What happens in terms of the oil market is probably going to affect the latter. Oil was off yesterday's lows, but didn't really hold onto most of the advances that we've seen in here today. So despite the fact that we have a short-term oversold condition and initial evidence of at least a pause in the region of the lower side of the range, oil has got a lot of work to do. The downward pressure that we've seen on the commodity complex, and certainly copper, has been leading on the downside. It did moderate a little bit in here today as we come back down and test lows from back in September. But the question that is being priced into the commodity markets right now is that we don't exactly know how much of an economic hit China is going to take in the first quarter. But we do have at least a partial indication of how long it takes for the peak in infection rates to arrive. And it could be anything up to 3 to 4 months from now. It could be even longer because of the potential for this disease to become global in nature, not least because of the incubation period, which can be anything up to 2 weeks. Fatality rates are in the region of about 2%. So if we get 50 million people infected, that means we're going to have 1 million people dead. And that is a large number. So the efforts underway to try and stop the spread are going to have to be not just short-term, but potentially medium-term in nature. And as everybody starts to get back to work next week, then it is, I think, almost Pollyanna-ish to believe that this virus is going to be under control by the first week of February. What that suggests is we're more than likely going to have some back and forth in terms of trading. Now, when we look at, for example, the DAX index, that's been one of the best performers in Europe, and it is off its lows and holding the sequence of higher reaction lows. Europe today voted to endorse the desire of the UK to leave, so that's pretty much done now. The FTSE 250 was in positive territory, and it continues to hold the breakout to new highs. When we then think about the pound, it has been continuing to hold around this 130 area, and this continues to look like a consolidation. The market is voting that, I think rather conclusively, that it is more likely than not the UK is going to come out of the Brexit deal in a better position than was envisaged 6 months ago. The question, of course, is how close is it going to be to the EU once that trade negotiation has in fact been agreed. Gold prices have been easing back a little over the course of the last few days, but so far they have held the move above $1,550, and I do believe that's meaningful. I'm posting a report today from a Monday focusing on cryptocurrencies, and the clear war on cash that's been underway now for years. It is particularly pronounced in countries like China, where using cash at all is becoming progressively more difficult. But the attractions of getting rid of cash from the perspective of government and central banks is quite obvious. It creates a paper trail for tax collection. It frees up their hands to have greater levers to pull in order to affect consumer actions. And it also allows a certain amount of subterfuge in the issuance of additional new notes or money supply. So there are obvious reasons why governments champion the electronic money market. The fact that gold continues to remain quite firm is, I think, a clear indication that hard money advocates are rebelling at that thought. And the hard money element of Bitcoin is going to be brought into focus in about July. The halving of the reward for mining Bitcoin is going to be in approximately the last week of June or the first couple of weeks of July. On previous occasions, that burnishing of the limited supply argument for Bitcoin has contributed to a rather significant price rally, and the price has broken back above the trend mean, and it has found support at successively higher levels, and it's broken its sequence of lower rally highs, so it's looking increasingly likely that we are back in a demand-dominated environment for the cryptocurrencies. Now, Then when we look at the bond market, I think the comment by Byron Veen and company to the effect that it's in 2020 that the Social Security Administration is going to be paying out more money than they take in, and opining on what the effect that's going to have on the demand for bonds. I think it's a relevant consideration. But right now, we've seen a significant break of the four-month uptrend for yields, and there is the potential that we're going to get further compression. Investors are looking for some form of safe haven because of the economic threat from the coronavirus. So I think that is certainly a bullish characteristic for bonds in the short term, although I think there is the potential we're going to see higher yields at some stage as the parlous state of government finances in the US and other countries do start to come home to roost. When we then think about what is it that creates total return for the bond market, well, when coupons are large, then it's yield and price appreciation. When coupons are low, then it's price appreciation and then the coupon. So that greatly increases the sensitivity of the price to changes in interest rates when you've got low coupons. And when we look at the total return, it did spectacularly well in the first portion of 2019. There's been a consolidation going on for much of the last few months, but it's looking increasingly likely that this trend is going to reassert on the upside. And that was following a really quite impressive breakout. If bonds are continuing to do well, then that is pricing in the potential that we are going to have additional assistance coming through in the form of both central bank buying and potentially deficit spending. The hit that the coronavirus is likely to have on the Chinese economy means that they're going to have to print. And I think that's one of the most important points here. It's, I think, one of the reasons why what we're faced with in the stock market is the process of mean reversion rather than an outright topping characteristic. It's, I think, really quite clear that China is going to have to stimulate. They've been rather shy about stimulating now for the last few years. They've been worried about the size of the shadow banking system. But the real issue here is they're going to potentially have a recession to deal with if they can't if they don't take the decision to stimulate. And I do think that's why stock markets were firmer yesterday. And I think it's also clear that that's why we haven't seen as big a pullback on Hong Kong as we could have. The total assets of central banks have contracted by about $100 billion over the course of January, but it still remains in a reasonably consistent trending, upwardly trending environment. Then when we keep an eye on India, and I do apologize, my wireless keyboard is not cooperating with me right now. I'm just going to turn it off and turn it back on again. But India was in mildly positive territory in here today. It has continued to hold this sequence of higher reaction lows, and it's firming in the region of 12,000. 12,000 is the upper side of the previous trading range. The inconsistency of the advance over the last couple of years is that breakouts have not been sustained. If India can in fact manage to hold the breakout, then I think we're back in a demand-dominated environment and there's potential for additional upside. I think the challenge to additional upside in India is the pace of growth, but also the fact that they're continuing to deal with a non-bank financial sector deleveraging. And those do tend to be rather lengthy and will probably require much more substantive government intervention. But I think India is at a rather interesting juncture right now. Then when we look at Australia, the breakout continues to hold. The market was in mildly positive territory in here today. The potential for the technology sector to continue to lead internationally is important for Australia as it is for the USA. The Aussie dollar, however, has now broken its sequence of higher reaction lows, and it does look likely we're going to see it take out the 67 cent level and reassert on the downside. So that is likely to be of assistance to the nominal price of the Australian stock market. When we then think about some of the other commodity producers, the Johannesburg All Share, for example, was off its lows in here today, but it really does need to do better than it has been in order to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. The Brazilian market has been resurgent over the course of the last 18 months, and it was down 1,000 points in here today. It does suggest that we're probably seeing a peak of near-term significance, and it's raising the potential that we're going to have a reversion back towards the mean. And I do think that's one of the biggest points here. It's quite likely we're going to see reversions back towards the mean for assets that are extraordinarily overextended relative to their trend means. The uncertainty and I think the point is, when we have a crisis, it needs to be seen to be getting worse in order for it to continue to have a negative effect on asset prices. We are now starting to see novel cases of coronavirus appearing outside of China. That is an indication of things getting worse. So that is, I think, something we do need to keep an eye on. But the liquidity-fueled environment, which has been underway since October, is potentially going to get a significant pop on the upside, and that could help to support asset prices, even as mean reversion remains the base case. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.